Good morning. In less than an hour, aircraft from here will join others from around the world, and you will be launching the largest aerial battle in this history of mankind. Mankind, that word should have new meaning for all of us today. We can't be consumed by our petty differences anymore. We will be united in our common interests. Perhaps it's fate that today is the 4th of July, and you will once again be fighting for our freedom, not from tyranny, oppression, or persecution, but from annihilation. We're fighting for our right to live, to exist. And should we win the day, the 4th of July will no longer be known as an American holiday, but as the day when the world declared in one voice, we will not go quietly into the night. We will not vanish without a fight. We're going to live on. We're going to survive. Today, we celebrate our Independence Day. Ross Bowman Podcast. You better listen. Happy 4th of July, and welcome to episode 200 of the Ross Bowman Podcast, otherwise known as RBP 200, presented by Bowman Media. I am your host, Ross Bowman, of course, here with Mr. Anthony Johnson, a.k.a. AJ. AJ, what's up today?
Episode 200.
Tuhunsky.
We got the slingshot fired up outside. Let's go.
All right, no personal anecdotes today.
No, we're going to jump right into things.
We're not going to do a whole lot of small talk. We have too much important business to attend to.
A lot of America.
Yes, many men and women to hear from, both veterans and active duty military. Today is about them, but quickly we must get through our introductory business nonsense. If you're new to the show, the Ross Bowman Podcast, almost every episode is broken down into little segments, which you can find below with time cues in the description. Now, some episodes are going to have special guests or perhaps a special topic, and they might be an exception to the rule, but you'll figure it out as you go. You don't have to have listened to any of the preceding 199 episodes of the Ross Bowman Podcast in order to enjoy RBP 200, especially if you're an American. But if you love the show, go back. We got 199 backlogged episodes for you to enjoy and soak in when you've got the time. So have at it. Feast. Feast your ears. Feast your ears on the buffet of podcasts we've provided for you. Follow us on Instagram at the Ross Bowman Podcast, where every day we fill up our story with photos and videos sent in by you, the RBP gang, our listenership. My Snapchat's at WR Bowlin. That's where I collect most of those photos and videos that then go onto the Instagram story at the Ross Bowlin Podcast. I know that's a bit confusing, but it's the way it works. We're also on Twitter at Ross Bowlin Pod. We're on Facebook as well, but fuck you, Mark Zuckerberg. RBP 200 is brought to you by Lisa, longtime supporter of RBP and the greatest mattress company in the world. Pay attention if your bed sucks or if you're in the market to update your mattress. Save today. Snooze tonight with Lisa. It's your last chance to shop their 4th of July mattress sale. Trust me, you do not want to miss this sale. Get better rest on Lisa's award-winning mattresses. Their all-foam Lisa mattress is made with premium, exclusive foam for comfort and support. The Lisa hybrid mattress is the one that I have. It's the most comfortable bed I've ever slept on in my life. I could not more highly recommend it. In fact, I do highly recommend it to literally everyone I know. Anybody that ever brings up their bed, I insult it, tell them how much better mine is, my Lisa hybrid, and then I move on about my day. That's just the way I'm going to operate for the rest of my life. It's the best bed I've ever had. It features premium foam and individually wrapped springs for enhanced sleep experience. And if you're worried, like, oh, I don't know about ordering a mattress online, that seems strange, Lisa's got your back, okay? First of all, it's an incredible experience, but if you're worried, they're backing their entire deal with a 100-night in-home trial, okay? So if you don't love your Lisa, you can just send it back for a full refund. Ordering your Leesa mattress is easy and stress-free. Get online now. Your new mattress will be delivered to your front door in a box. All you have to do is unbox it, unwrap it, and then you watch it come to life right before your eyes. It's a very magical experience, much like the birth of your firstborn child, I imagine. Shop Leesa's 4th of July mattress sale now. Get 15% off mattresses plus 2 free down alternative pillows while supplies last. 2 free pillows while supplies last. The sale will not last long. Go to Leesa.com/RBP. Use the promo code RBP. That's promo code RBP. Leesa mattresses are proudly made in the USA. Leesa.com/RBP now to shop their sleep products and start getting your best rest. Announcements. We only have one. Go to patreon.com/RossBolinPodcast to enjoy 2 new columns that dropped yesterday. First, Monday Greens, which is essentially stoned rambling. And then second, what was second? A short story Ross wrote stoned.
Yeah.
It's no wonder I can't remember.
Yeah, I forgot.
It was long and very strange. Very, very strange. And that didn't go up yesterday. It went up a few days ago. But those are both available now as part of our July Patreon offering. You'll see what else is there when you check out the 3 different tiers that are available. The G3 affiliate is $1.99. You only get access to the editorial that we publish on Patreon. The RBP gang tier, of course, is the one that's for all of you. It's $5 or more per month if you feel like giving more. And you get 2 additional and exclusive ad-free episodes of RBP each month. One is a hotline call extravaganza. The other features a different special guest. And then you get access to the editorial content that we publish on Patreon as well. You'll get first dibs on merch when that comes eventually. And then, of course, there's the OG tier. It's $100 or more per month. Our most dedicated and supportive listeners are the OGs, and we appreciate each and every one of you. I believe we have 9 OGs right now. So 1 or 2 of them had to drop out. They served their time. We need somebody else to step up. Remember, we want to stay around 10, always. 10 OGs. That's the sweet spot. Patreon.com/RossBolinPodcast. OGs get everything. Everything. You'll see the list of stuff they get when you go to the URL. Amends. We are not recording this episode inside of a slingshot, if the slingshot you're referring to is a vehicle, but I am sitting, technically, in a slingshot. Now, it's a small children's slingshot that I purchased from the toy aisle of a Walgreens. And that's called making good on a promise, but I suppose it's also an amend. But in all seriousness, one day, I have a dream that we will be able to do stuff like record in a slingshot and fuck around with whatever we want. And maybe one day soon that day will come, but that day has not come yet. Patreon.com/RossBolinPodcast. Any other amends, AJ, before we smack people upside the head with some murica?
I'm good. Let's jump into it.
Fantastic. We're starting our first segment with the State of the Union. We live in a time where, because of technology and the media and how incredibly connected we are to the 24-hour news cycle, receiving updates on TV, on our phones, on Instagram, on Twitter, on Facebook, through the newspaper, for the 10 of you that are still getting newspaper, it's extremely easy to let yourself get down on the state of the world, especially the state of America, the state of our union. And that upsets me, because while I see us as a country that's clearly still full of flaws, as we always will be, I feel like more than ever, we aren't afraid to let each other know what we think and feel, right or wrong. And fewer people are afraid to speak out about injustice, what's unfair, things they don't agree with, horrific inequalities in the different systems we utilize to operate our society. And as annoying as that can be at times for Whitey, it's also obviously incredibly healthy. And the only way we can heal, we can correct course, we can continue to get better and to better this great nation year after year, regardless of who is in office or what political party is in power. Right? I mean, America is always defined by the media and in movies and on television and by its leadership. Who is president? Who's in Congress? What's the latest mass shooting or other tragedy we can focus on? But that's not America to me. That's a facet or facets of our society, for sure. And that obsession with news media and tragedy and graphic violence and all that shit is a huge part of what we do here. But it doesn't define us at our core. And sure, Republicans and Democrats on the far ends of either spectrum are batshit crazy. And they make it seem like we'll never be able to make any progress toward the middle. But that's not the root or the foundation of this great nation. Freedom. Freedom is the foundation. And to me, it feels like we are more free than ever. AJ, would you agree?
I definitely think so. I mean, the society that we live in now, you know, everyone's so opinionated, like you said, and we have all these different outlets and avenues to express what we're thinking, what we're feeling through social media.
Everybody has a voice.
YouTube,
not
whatever.
Not everybody, but most people.
Versus how it was back in the day or a long, long time ago where that wasn't allowed.
It was not.
It was very much an oppression of your voice.
It was also just impossible.
Yeah.
It's a great time for anybody who's ever wanted to be able to say whatever the hell they want and to have at least a few people see it.
Yeah, it's incredible. It's a great feeling.
On the interwebs. We also might be in more danger than ever.
But because of that.
At least partially because of that, but I'll be damned if I don't feel free as shit. Play Freebird. The world might be crumbling around us and seemingly tearing itself apart at the seams on every continent, and we're struggling with climate change or accepting or denying its existence. With our policies at the border, half our citizens think the president is a cartoonish orange Hitler, and the other half thinks that first half are massive pussies. But this is still America, baby, and we're still rocking in the free world as the greatest country on earth, and anyone calling that into question is delusional. America is the mob, to quote Marcus Aurelius. But I can wake up every morning, walk out into my backyard, piss in the grass, smoke a bowl if I want to, head up here to the studio, record an episode of a podcast, go to Shake Shack, crush a burger, hit my home office, make some money, make sure my family is safe and sound. I live in the greatest country on earth. There's not many places that you can do that shit. We got it going on here. Nothing can stop us but us. So this 4th of July, take some time to remember and think about what makes this country so great. Stop bitching and moaning about politics or your fucking taxes or the crises we're facing all over the country and then the world. And remember, if you're gonna face the hellacious nonsense life is inevitably going to throw your way, this is the place to do it. In the United States of America.
And I guess also remember that things could be a lot worse. It could be way, way worse than how it is here.
It is often.
Like, we gripe about these first world problems, is what we call it. Think about the countries, impoverished countries that don't have freedom. Their voices are being oppressed. They can't freely speak what's on their mind. They can't even say anything about political figures or anyone in power, you know, without facing fear of being executed.
Their internet is... what do you call it? Filtered. They don't even have all the actual news.
Yeah.
Like North Korea?
No, that's a prime example.
That shit is crazy.
Just nothing but propaganda.
Crazy. It's crazy. No, we're seriously blessed here. And there's a reason for that. The reason for that is the men and women who sacrificed their lives all throughout our history to ensure that we first gain our freedom and then maintain it. And then to make sure that we sit in the place of power that we do as a country.
Yeah, definitely.
And we're going to hear from a lot of those men and women here today.
Oh, yeah.
Next segment, hotline calls. So our number, of course, is 888-WR-BOLIN. Now, you can call that number any time of day, any day of the week, any day of the year. It's a voicemail. You got 2 minutes to ask us a question, give us a take, a hypothetical, perhaps a trash or not trash. You could sing us a song if you must, tell us a story, a funny one or a serious one, how the show has impacted you, if you would like to share that. Today, all of our calls are from either active duty or veterans of our military here in the United States of America. We got so many of these. The pile was so large that I didn't have nearly as much time as I had wanted to be able to listen to all of them. So what we're going to do is take a bunch and tack them onto the back end of this episode as well, because many of these messages, many of these voicemails, they don't require much of a response from me. It's more about y'all hearing from the active and former, excuse me, military members of the RBP gang, right? It's not so much about what I have to say. Now, a few of them I am going to respond to, but the point is we got so many, AJ.
It's a great outpouring. I'm glad everyone stepped up to this call of action and really gave us this great content.
Yeah, we appreciate y'all.
Yeah, definitely. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Keep the hotline calls coming for everybody else and for the military, obviously. What do we got? 4 calls I'm going to play for y'all. Then, like I said, you'll catch a bunch on the back end of this episode as well before the outro music plays. Here's our first call today.
Rouse. What's good? It's Bobby from Boston. Just wanted to call. I got an idea for a segment on Wednesday or Thursday. How to dress like an American without looking like an absolute tool. You know, like head to toe American flag, everything with the mullet and the pit vipers. Don't be that guy. But still show some support. You want to touch on that? So, gang, gang, gang. Peace.
Okay, I forgot about our first call from Boston. He's asking about patriotic garb.
Oh, okay. I couldn't understand what he was saying.
What you can get away with, where like to show your support for America. And obviously he's asking specifically on the 4th of July.
Oh, okay.
And then I'm going to ask, what can you get away with when it's not the 4th of July as well? First and foremost, I couldn't disagree with you more about your take on the mullet and the pit vipers and the chubbies and the tank top on the 4th. I don't think there's a line on the 4th. Now, that's a horrible look. There's no way to carry that with swagger. But that's okay. What do I always say? Sometimes you just got to be trash. Man, if there's a day to wear a trashily patriotic outfit, it's the 4th of July in the United States of America. Wear that horrific hot dog fucking Hawaiian shirt you have with your American flag swim trunks, a stupid hat with an eagle on it or something, and your pit vipers. I don't give a fuck.
Yeah, why not? I mean, everyone's going to be high on America.
This is the day to do that.
Everyone's going to be hammered. This is another thing.
It's like
no one's going to care what you're wearing anyway. Everyone's going to be completely plastered.
Exactly. These days, there's very few days of the year where we as a society are allowed to wear just absurd outfits. And it's fine. And no one cares or judges except for this dude from Boston. Halloween, obviously. But this is one of them for us in America, the 4th of July. You dress like an American clown. This is the day that we are as obnoxious as we can possibly be. We dress like fucking soccer fans do in other countries.
It's like everyone trying to one-up each other on who's more patriotic.
Yes.
Who can wear more red, white, and blue.
You have an American flag bandana, today is the day. That swimsuit, today is the day. The tank top, today is the day.
I'm going to step it up and get an American flag tattoo.
There you go.
Across my back.
Wow.
That's not just for one day. That's for the rest of my life.
That's every day.
Yeah.
For you.
Forever.
Now.
That's how American I am.
I do want to say that off the 4th of July, you got to be careful with this shit.
Yeah.
There is certainly, let's just say this. The same rules apply to professional sports team fandom. Country fandom is the same way. You get one item. If you have on the USA hat or the American flag hat, you can't also wear a patriotic t-shirt that day. Because you're checked out already. You got your one item. You're done. If I wear Rocket shorts and a Rocket shirt, it's awkward and strange and like, oh, does he think he's on the team? You get one item. Okay? All of that being said, if you're in the military, you do whatever the fuck you want.
Yeah, you're defending our country.
That's the right you've earned. That's part of the point of the show today. So keep that in mind. When I drop rules, they don't apply to you if you're in the military. You wear the damn flag all over your body every day of your life if you choose. You have earned it.
You know what's a great thing to wear on the 4th of July? That's kind of low-key. That's not too over the top.
Nothing.
Did you ever go to Old Navy? And you know how on 4th of July they'll give out those American flag t-shirts? You know what I'm talking about. I think they're free. Or I think you buy something and they just give it to you for free. But somehow everyone ends up with like 10 of them. And
yeah.
You just give them out to your entire family. I feel like that t-shirt is
You think this is a common experience you're explaining?
It is. I mean, do you realize how many people wear that t-shirt?
The Old Navy American flag tee?
Yeah, it's a staple.
But they weren't giving them away, were they? You had to buy this shirt.
I think you had to buy something, but I think they had a lot of places, I feel like they were just giving them away because they had so many of them, like if you went into the store. I could be wrong.
I don't know what else they had? The worst fucking commercials ever made.
Yeah, they were very cheesy.
Ever.
Were those real people?
Stop dancing. What are you dancing about?
Why are you so happy about?
That's not how this works. No one just dances around. Fucking dancing around through life.
Wearing terrible clothes.
Dressed in brightly colored cardigans and fucking, turtlenecks?
They have the worst clothes, by the way.
Fucking A. Gap, Old Navy. I'm not here for those things.
Hey, so let's follow up on that. What are you going to wear for the 4th of July? Do you already have your outfit planned out?
No. No, but I also don't have plans.
Oh, okay, see, I didn't know what you were going to do. If you're going to go to like a cookout.
No, it's a weird one on a
Thursday. Go to the pool, to the lake.
No, I don't have any plans. What about you?
I don't know. I kind of go with the flow. I mean, more than likely, either my family or my friends will probably cook out.
Word.
Go to the pool or something. The pool is always a move.
I mean, really might just go to Shake Shack. I don't have a pool.
It's very patriotic.
Yeah.
Are you going to get do they have patriotic shakes?
Probably. I'll find out tomorrow. Next call.
Hey, what's up, Ross? What's up, AJ? My name's Scott. I've been in the Navy going on 6 years now. It's stationed down in San Diego. Listen to you guys all the time overseas on deployments and stuff, but I got a pretty weird question for you guys. As a service member, you always get thanked for your service and whatnot. And there's always been that awkward stage when you get thanked where you don't really know what to say back to it. Cause you never really know, like, to thank the person or not, or say you're welcome, which seems kind of rude. So I wanted to get your guys' input on what you expect someone to say back to you when you thank them. And it's a real cool thing when people show their appreciation for you, but it's always that, like, awkward stage trying to figure out what to say back. But, yeah, I just wanted to get your guys' input on stuff. That'd be cool. All right. Gang, gang, gang.
So, servicemen and women who don't really know how to respond to thank you for your service. This is a hilarious problem. But when you think about it, it is kind of a strange thing. Like, it's sort of like a bless you situation.
So my dad's retired Army. He's a veteran.
Yeah.
Every time we go out to public places, he likes wearing his little veteran hat.
Sure.
You know, he has a
many
bunch
vets
of,
do.
Yeah, he has a bunch of those. But whenever we go out, there's always somebody that'll say thank you for your service.
Yeah.
With my dad, though, he's kind of weird about it because, for one, he was drafted into the military. He had no choice. He was he was like 18 years old. My dad's older, this was around the Vietnam time.
Okay.
So he was drafted. And obviously, during that whole Vietnam era, it was a very controversial war, you know?
Incredibly controversial.
So people felt they felt one way or the other.
It was a strange,
about the war and about the soldiers.
Strange situation for soldiers who were drafted to come back and be chastised for something they didn't actually choose to be a part of.
Yeah, exactly. So my dad felt very much a part of that, of the negative part of that.
Ah.
So he'll say thank you, you know, whatever, like, thank you, I appreciate it. But whenever me and him are talking, he's like, I don't really know how to respond because I received so much negative backlash
back in the day
from being involved in that war.
And he was drafted.
That it's like, well, where were you guys back when we were fighting in that war?
I can see that.
But that's kind of like an old school military mindset, though.
It's a very specific issue to Vietnam in
veterans.
Particular because so many Vietnam vets have that feeling about Vietnam and their service and their time in the military as a result. Because
I mean, it was bad.
It was. It was a weird, weird, incredibly tense point in American history. All in all, like, I'll say this. As a civilian, what do I expect you to say back when I say thank you for your service? Frankly, you can say whatever the fuck you want. You could say lick my balls. You can say you're welcome. You could say no problem, man. You could ignore me. Whatever you want. Again, you've earned that right. The only point is that I get the opportunity to make sure you know I respect your sacrifice that you have made for me. That's all. That's the only message that needs to be fucking conveyed here. Whether or not you need to make me feel okay with that message, that's not part of it. You don't have to worry. The whole point is, oh, dude, just nod if you want. But here I'll give you what is, I believe, the best go-to response to someone saying thank you to you for something that you may or may not know how to respond to. I appreciate it.
That's it.
Just say I appreciate it. That's it. You're saying you appreciate them saying thank you. That's all.
But you had a great point, though. They don't have to say anything, really.
No.
Because you're not saying it to get a response from them. You're saying it for you, like for you to show your appreciation to them.
Sure.
So, you know, they can say whatever they want, like you said. I mean, it really doesn't matter.
Y'all don't have to worry about how you make the person thanking you feel in return so much as you just make sure you receive the message. Especially because for so many active and former military, it's a struggle when you get back to day-to-day society and when you get back to a situation where you can be thanked for your service. It was a struggle back in the Vietnam era for different reasons than it's a struggle now, but it is still a struggle. And we know and appreciate that y'all go through that for our benefit. It means a great deal. And that's why we thank you for your service. And what you say back is honestly, it's up to you. Next call.
Hey, Ross, this is Logan from Georgia. I'm currently serving up at Fort Bragg, North Carolina. I saw your post on Instagram today, and I just figured I'd chime in. The thing I love the most about Ross Bowen podcast, or I wouldn't say the most, but like a huge thing that I love about it, and love about it, and I really appreciate you so much, is that like I'm catching up right now, and I just listened recently to your Never Forget episode, and I just think it's so fucking cool, man, that like you talk about the coolest things, just the most random things, like Animal of the Week, Badass Pirates You Never Heard Of, stuff like that. But then you take some really quality, serious time to touch on notes about like America and how like awesome this country is because of whatever reason, you know, and how we came together after 9/11. And it just really means a lot that you take that time to kind of reel us back in to reality and kind of unify us in that sense. And you stay apolitical and you really don't touch on like, you know, what's going on in the world, like foreign policy or whatever. You're just like, hey, like, this is America. This is who we are. Never forget. And gang, most of all, you know. So, yeah, I mean, I appreciate it. And going to listen forever. Appreciate it. Take care.
This is America. Hey, thank you for all the kind words. Seriously, it means a great deal. I mean, but you do need to understand that's exactly why I do the show, why we do the show. Like, you are the reason that we do this. Thank you. We love hearing from y'all. From anybody and everybody who listens to the show, love hearing from y'all. It means a special amount to hear from people in the military that listen to the show to escape from all the bullshit of day-to-day news and politics and pain and suffering everywhere. Now, we talk about some dark shit from time to time, to be sure. Some real shit, though. We try not to fuck too much with all the bullshit. Like, a lot of the news stuff is distractions from the real shit, right? And now, while a lot of it's very important, it's important in a very present moment, not longer term. So we try to focus on some of the more longer term
evergreen
lessons of life and try to take y'all away. I mean, because that's the whole, for everybody needs an escape. Everybody needs an escape, especially military.
Definitely.
Right? Like, I mean, you need an escape if your 9-to-5 is mundane because you sit in an office in Kentucky of selling fried chicken all day. If you're sitting in the desert with a fucking AK or an AR protecting your country, your stress levels are different. Right? You need an escape for a different reason and at a higher level. And we appreciate that so fucking much. You guys are the reason we do what we do. We want you to have something to listen to take your mind off things, man. That applies to everybody, but it certainly most applies to you guys and girls. So thank you. Thank you. Don't thank us. Thank you.
Hey, can I just say that 9/11 episode that you did? That was easily among one of my favorite episodes.
Dude, it was one of my favorites to do.
I remember listening to it in my car. We were at the old office, and I was driving back home, and I was so, like, enthralled by what you were saying. For one, it wasn't like a typical episode because the entire episode was just about 9/11 and just about everything that was going on.
Yeah.
And it was just great, man. Like, it was so deep and it felt so intimate and personal. And I'm not just saying it just to say it. Like, I really felt like that was an incredible episode.
I appreciate that.
Should listen to it if you haven't. Especially here, I would recommend this. For 4th of July, I would recommend that you guys go back and listen to that episode. Because it would be a great episode to listen to on the 4th.
There you go.
Do you remember what episode that was?
No, I'll look it up right now, though.
I forgot the... I think it was called Never Forget, right? The title?
It was the 80th episode. RBP 80. It was that long ago. It's titled Never Forget, if you want to go back and listen to that one. Today is a great day for that. Great day for that. The segment is titled Never Forget as well. Starts at the 16-minute and 15-second mark if you want to skip straight to that and hear us discuss 9/11. We get into where we were on that fateful day and how it affected us and all these different angles of discussion around what was one of the most fucked up days of my life. It was just a normal dude that was thousands of miles away from the actual tragedy even taking place. It was still a crazy day. It was still life-changing. world-altering craziness, madness. Shouts to all the first responders as well.
And also RIP to everyone that we lost.
Of course, always. We got one more call we're going to play for y'all before we get into some of the most American foods, songs, and movies ever. And then we have some emails from some men and women in the military that we want to share with you as well. And then, as I mentioned, don't forget, we're closing out the show with even more calls. But here's our last one that we're going to respond to today.
Yo, AJ, Ross, how's it going? Sam from San Diego. Just want to give a shout-out to the boys at HSM 35 Aircrew Shop. We're big fans of the gang. Funny story. So we have a tracker outside of our aircrew shop, or our squadron, rather, that says a counter from the last alcohol-related incident. If we go 72 days without getting alcohol-related incident, then our boss will give us a three-day weekend, essentially. So is it trash or is it not trash that we get hooked up for people not getting in trouble from booze?
I love that he found a way to make his call about into a trash or not trash.
I didn't know that's where he was headed.
It's truly incredible. It's also hilarious. Thank you for calling. Thank you for sharing. Thank you for your service. This is debatable, right? I don't want to say one way or the other, trash or not trash, because it's trash because it's like, dude, what if you don't drink? I mean, what if you don't, I don't know. I hate when we put shit around alcohol or a substance that, like, maybe it doesn't involve everybody, right?
Well, I guess we can both agree that the fact that there are less alcohol-related incidents, that's a good thing.
It's kind
that's
of
a great thing.
Why 72 days?
I was wondering that, too. Why is it that specific
They have to make
number?
It 72 days without an alcohol-related incident, and then they get a full weekend off or whatever, like a weekend pass.
Oh, maybe it's because typically every 72 days or within 72 days, there's an alcohol-related incident.
That's on average.
So that's how they set that number.
You know, it's funny. I never really I guess a lot of movies and television shows have touched on the dangers of substances and alcohol, for especially for members of the military who are actively on duty and out on, what do you call it, a tour or whatever. But the one that hit me the hardest, the one that really made me understand, like, oh, shit, was Band of Brothers. As is with most lessons, I don't know anything about the military. I've never served. I've never been, I'm not cut from that cloth. Right? I'm just not. So I love Band of Brothers. It's one of my favorite pieces of any kind of content that's ever been created because it's so powerful, because I love feeling like I can better understand and connect with men and women who put themselves in a position I will never be in and never fully understand. I guess I should never say never, but the odds are 32 years into life, I'm not going to change course and become a military person now. So I won't ever fully grasp what that life is like. It's a totally different beast. It's like it's almost like signing up for the fucking mafia. Like, you're signing up for a completely different set of rules to your life. A lot of those rules involve death, and which is a crazy fucking thing. It's a totally different deal. So I love feeling like I can get a little bit. And Band of Brothers is the one where it's one of the more depressing and harrowing scenes I've ever seen in any show or movie. I think it's from Points, might be the name of the episode. It's like one of the seven or eight, right? Towards the end, when the war is basically over and this dude, spoiler alert, he's shit-faced, driving around like they don't have anything to do. These Marines, they're just still over there, like up in fucking Austria or some shit, like in Hitler's eagle's nest. They don't have shit to do. And this guy gets wasted, and some other guys try to stop him, and as a result, there's like a horrible accident. That was the first time I was like, oh, fuck, I get it. I could see how this would be problematic.
Well, it all goes back to what you were saying earlier about needing an escape.
Absolutely.
And obviously, men and women, they're in that position. Sometimes they feel like they need to resort to alcohol to, you know, as their escape. To kind of drown out these emotions, the sights, the sounds. I mean, it's a lot to take in.
I can't even imagine.
Sensory overload.
You're spot on. I can't even imagine, like, as a regular motherfucker who has a very low level of real problems in his life. Like, I got basic human problems, and in almost every area, but they're basic. They're not life-threatening. You know what I'm saying?
And also you have...
And I still have that... I still need an escape. I still need stuff to help me feel like I can de-stress and detach and play video games. I smoke weed. I read. I fucking... I mean, that's like one of the things for me as a human that I suffer with the most, that I struggle with the most. So I completely understand that need. And I can't understand how much more important it is to have that when you're in a fucking situation that is life or death.
Well, also think about the servicemen and women who deal with mental health issues and they serve in our military.
And there's so many of them.
If you factor that in along with that.
Of course.
Then yeah, I mean, I don't even know how you deal with it.
There's so many of them because so many of them are in these high stress scenarios that make it to where you're more inclined to have things like anxiety or depression or PTSD. And any of the number of other things that military men and women suffer with, both during and after their service. Everybody knows that one of the main reasons I started doing this show, one of the most important things in the world to me is talking about mental health and removing that stigma. And perhaps no community needs that more than the military community.
Like my pops, he definitely saw some shit when he was in the military.
Oh, for sure.
Even after that too, he wasn't so much in the thick of that war. But he was in combat.
Got you.
But one story that he told me, he was on a mission doing something, and they were coming back on a helicopter. They were getting off the chopper. What am I trying to say right now?
Get to the chopper.
Chopper. Yeah. They were getting off the chopper, and as they were getting off, something happened, and I think the chopper crashed or it tilted one way and it started crashing towards the ground.
Oh no.
And my dad literally saw one of his friends decapitated from the blade.
Oh dude.
And it scarred him for a while. Like,
yeah, well, I would think so.
He had severe PTSD for a while.
Jesus.
And I'm not trying to put my dad's personal business out there, but
no.
He doesn't listen to this anyway, but that was one reason why he retired from the military when he did. Is because when you see stuff like that,
yeah, man,
that's just a lot to deal with, and it's still, even to this day, many many years later, it still affects them to some degree.
And if you extrapolate that out to imagine how many people like AJ's dad, how many men and women across the United States have seen or dealt with or struggle with still daily something they experienced as a result of their service to keep the rest of us safe. And that's the most important thing to remember today for civilians, is that we are so blessed to have all this. And hey, you can hate on America all you want. You could rip Donald Trump, hate on Congress, whoever. You could hate all the Democrats if you want. I don't really give a fuck, as long as you appreciate the fact that the beauty of it is that you're even allowed to do that. That's the beauty of it. Don't ever lose sight of the actual fucking foundational beauty of this country, even if you're pissed off about the way things are going at the present. All right? Moving forward. Oh, 888-WR-BOLIN is, of course, our hotline number. Keep the calls coming. Thank you so much to all the active and former members of the military, all the veterans who called in as well. Hearing from y'all means more than you could ever know, than I could ever put into words. Thank you so much. But for the rest of y'all, regular motherfuckers, don't stop calling. 888-WR-BOLIN. RBP200, also brought to you by Manscaped. If you're one of the many, many, many men out there who has no damn clue what product to use to clean yourselves up, and I'm talking body hair, not facial hair, your answer is here, Manscaped. For most of us guys, we're stupid. We do things like retire our old facial hair razor and use that as our body hair tool. That's not what that thing is made for, so you're going to cut yourself, nick yourself, snag yourself. It's painful. And if there's an area of your body you want to avoid a nick or a cut or a snag, it's your dick and balls. Is it not, AJ?
Definitely.
I would fucking think so. So get to Manscaped. When it came into my life, changed everything. Now there's absolutely no fear of hurting my nuts with a nick or a cut or a snag ever again. Their incredible razor is called the Lawnmower 2.0. It's an electric, rechargeable, waterproof trimmer with skin-safe technology for a nick-free trim. You can learn all about their entire revolutionary product line by going to manscaped.com. All their products cleanse, moisturize, and deodorize, specially formulated just for men. Engineered to give every gentleman a close, refined appearance, empowering men by providing the right tools for the right job. Stop using that bunk-ass razor or that hoopty fucking facial hair razor that you bought from Walmart 8 years ago or whatever, dude. That's disgusting and weird. Your wife, girlfriend, boyfriend, your dogs, your cats, everyone will appreciate it if you get yourself a Manscaped and fix your downstairs mix-up. When you go to manscaped.com, if you use the code RBP, you'll get 20% off your entire order, and your balls will thank you. M-A-N-S-C-A-P-E-D.com. Manscaped.com. RBP for 20% off your entire order. Thank you to Manscaped for supporting the show. Bumblebee Tuna.
Wait, you know what? You know what, Ross?
What's up, bro?
What's more patriotic than having a clean-shaven pubic region that shines like a bald eagle?
I don't know. I think the answer is nothing.
Just saying.
Next segment, most American foods ever. It's the 4th of July, baby. We're all grubbing. Lots of beers being tossed back. Lots of brewskis. But lots of good food is being eaten as well. Many, many calories are crushed on this day of days where we celebrate the incredible country that we are a part of.
A lot of trash foods also, for the record.
I would argue.
I would say. I know we're about to get into this, but I'm just saying.
The 4th of July is a day where trash foods are given a pass and are made whole and on par with all the other foods of the world. Like, a hot dog is, by definition, trash food.
That's literally what I was going to say.
It's legitimately the trash parts of the pig that they didn't want for anything else crammed into a fucking... I don't even want to talk about it anymore, frankly. I don't want to ruin hot dogs for myself.
Pig dick and
it's not
chicken
good.
Lips.
It's not good. Sausage. Sausage is the same. I love sausage and hot dogs so much. And they're trash
foods.
Ooh,
a nice bratwurst.
Trash foods by definition. Oh, God, yeah. But this is America. We're not talking about bratwurst today. The point is this. On the 4th, a hot dog is not a trash food. A hot dog is
an American
food. It's one of the premier foods that you must have. On the 4th of July. It's also one of the easiest things to cook in the world, and I appreciate that as a man who can cook nothing.
Yeah, so even you can cook a hot dog.
I would hope so.
I would hope so, too. I
need to toss myself into you literally just turn it until it looks like you're ready to eat it. Don't burn any of the sides. It's round. It's not difficult. Easy fucking peasy. Hamburgers? Cheeseburgers, I would argue. But for those of you who are dairy-free freaks or whatever, fine, hamburgers. But cheeseburgers and hot dogs, foods that normally, I mean, depending on the circumstance.
Burgers aren't trash. I don't know if that's what you're getting at.
They trust, AJ, they can be. There's a lot of fast food restaurants
like
in the
no
United
matter
States.
Where you get that burger from, are you saying it's still
I'm
trash regardless?
There are a lot of fast food restaurants in the United States where burgers are trash.
Oh, that well, yeah, said, you have fast food places that make trash burgers.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
but
yeah.
I was just saying burgers in and of itself are not trash.
If
you get
a
good burger.
Not like hot dogs.
Yeah, hot dogs are trash all across the board.
Right. French fries, another great one. It's a weird one, even though they say the word French in the food. They're so American. French fries are like steak frites. That's not an American meal, but it's America to me. Steak is America as fuck, and I love French fries. When you put the two together... Home run, baby.
I'm more of a fan of potato wedges, or I guess, was it steak fries, I guess you would
call
them?
That's the same as a French fry, bro.
Well, the way it's cut's different. They're thicker. Yeah. You get some of the skin.
I love a good any kind of wedge, frankly.
Hey, speaking of hot dogs and hamburgers, I know we kind of touched on this before, but let's do it again. What are you putting on your burger or hot dog?
Cheese, lettuce, mayonnaise, pickles.
That's for your burger.
Jalapenos.
Hoping that's not your hot dog.
Mustard. No, hot dog, I'm a ketchup, relish, jalapenos if available, one squirt of mustard down the middle guy.
How do you feel about Chicago dogs? You know how they put the lettuce and tomato and stuff on there? I think it's like a pickle.
I'll do a Chicago dog every once in a while just to like keep myself in line with the Chicagoans, but that's just crazy talk. That's unnecessary. There's too much on these fucking dogs.
I think chili cheese is my favorite way to eat a
hot
dog.
Chili cheese dogs are my jam. James Coney Island, what's good?
What's better than that?
I would like a James Coney Island sponsorship and one of those cards that Happy Gilmore got that gives me unlimited access like he got for Subway, except I want one for James Coney Island, please. I love a chili cheese Coney.
Sonic.
If I'm going to say something good about Mr. Linhart, who I've spoken about several times on this show, back when he was my chamber choir leader. He was our teacher in middle school. That motherfucker loved James Coney Island. He always took us to James Coney Island. At least he did that right. He did a lot of things right. I'm just fucking around.
And they just had like the best chili cheese dogs?
Oh, you never been to a James Coney Island?
No, nah, I don't even know what that is.
Oh, they serve chili cheese dogs. That's like their thing. You don't know what James Coney Island is, AJ? We're going to change your fucking life. I'm going to change your fucking life when I take you to James Coney Island.
But remember, I can't be crushing like a lot of chili cheese dogs because of my digestive issues.
Why would I?
Remember?
No.
Remember I told you about that?
No.
How I have acid reflux?
Is chili cheese bad for acid reflux?
Yeah, definitely.
Oh, for
I mean,
real?
I can have a little bit.
I didn't
or
know
if
that.
I take an antacid beforehand.
Oh.
But if I start crushing a bunch of those, I'm definitely going to regret it. My chest is going to be on fire.
Oh, fuck that then. Fuck that. We'll be careful. What about an apple pie? Have a good piece of apple pie.
With nothing vanilla ice cream on top.
More American.
You got to do it that way.
Then some apple pie, baby. Chocolate chip cookies. Maybe you combine the two. Get a piece of apple pie, put some fucking vanilla ice cream on top, and then slam a chocolate chip cookie into that bitch.
That sounds incredible. I've never tried that before. But
this is America.
I'm definitely considering that now.
I've done it many times. Wings. Wings are so America.
What kind of wings are we talking about?
Wild though? Wings. Buffalo Wild Wings. Fucking, what's Rick Ross on? Wingstop. Wings, baby.
What's your favorite wing place, by the way?
Probably Wingstop.
I like Pluckers.
Pluckers is very fucking good.
I'll say Pluckers is up there.
I'll be straight with
you. As long as you didn't say Hooters.
I don't get wings very often. My wife doesn't eat wings often. She's not a wing person. She thinks wings is trash food. But
I'll tear up some wings.
Fourth is a wing time, baby. You put the wings out. Get the fucking meatloaf
going. Get the sauce all over your face?
Where's the meatloaf at? Mom! Meatloaf! It's an American food, meatloaf. No other country gets down on meatloaf. This is us. We're disgusting.
Who's crushing meatloaf on 4th of July?
The Americans.
No, I've never had a meatloaf on the 4th of July.
Bro, this isn't just 4th of July food. It's American food.
Oh, okay. Sorry. I was thinking in context.
What the fuck is wrong with you?
Okay, got it. Well, yeah, in general, yeah.
S'mores. Fried chicken. Corn dogs. There's three more. God, I love a good s'more. I haven't had a s'more probably since 1998.
Like over a campfire?
S'more of anything, really.
Like an authentic s'more, right?
Fucking fried chicken I have constantly. Shouts to Popeyes and all the other fried chicken.
Is that the most American fried chicken place?
No, but it's my fave. Well, yeah, to me it's the most American one. Probably not if you took like a vote. I'm sure KFC probably is. But KFC, comparatively, is not as good. Popeyes is unreal.
You know, people sleep on churches. Churches is actually pretty good for what it's worth.
I haven't been to a churches in a minute. I might need to give it a shot again.
It's not super greasy. It's not super heavy, but it's like, it's more juicy.
We got to get, let me blow through some of them. Fucking fly through some of them. Movie theater popcorn. What? How American is that? Dude, I don't really love a big amount of butter on my movie theater popcorn.
Why not?
Might make an exception on the 4th. I get light. That shit is too gross. It gets all soggy by the end of the popcorn, man. I don't want my popcorn soggy. I want it crunchy.
That's when you drink it.
New York or Chicago style pizza. I'm not going to give credit to the Italians. It's an American food. New York or Chicago style, maybe even Detroit. We got Via 313 in Austin that makes incredible Detroit style pizza. That's an American food.
I don't know what Detroit style is, but I'll look that up.
It's fucking weird. It's a square. But like, it's weird. It's sort of somewhere between New York and Chicago, but then in a square.
I'll look into it.
Frito pie, chili, Philly cheese steak. We love cheese in America.
Frito pie is more of like a Texas thing.
Frito pie is
it's American, but I think of Texas the way we do Frito pie.
Mac and cheese.
Fried mac and cheese.
Grilled cheese sandwiches. And then I'll say peanut butter and jelly.
Nah, you can take that off.
Nah, that shit is America as fuck. Moving into the most American songs ever to keep things rolling, to keep your patriotic boner hard. God Bless the USA by Lee Greenwood is probably number one. It's the I'm proud to be an American where at least I know I'm free. You know the song. It's called God Bless the USA. If you don't get teared up on the 4th of July listening to God Bless the USA by Lee Greenwood, you can get the fuck out.
That's your number one?
What's your number one, bro?
Party in the USA.
By Miley Cyrus? That was going to be my last one.
Oh, did I ruin that?
Yeah, you ruined the whole joke. America the Beautiful. American as fuck. Toby Keith's Courtesy of the Red, White, and Blue. I'm kidding. That's absolutely awful. That's a terrible song. We'll put a boot in your ass. It's the American way. Get the fuck out of here. What a terrible song. American Pie by Don McLean. McLean? I've always wondered. How do they pronounce that? Nobody really knows. Tom Petty's American Girl? AJ, what's your for real? Is it, it can't be Miley Cyrus' Party in the USA is your favorite song about America.
No, I like, what about like American Woman?
That's on my shit. Lenny Kravitz, American Woman?
Yeah. Ooh, I mean, I don't know how patriotic that is necessarily.
Man, it counts. It's Americans in the name.
Yeah, that's the way I thought of it. And it's a great Lenny. Song, though.
And it's Lenny.
Who doesn't like him?
He's shredding the electric guitar.
Yeah, it's a great song.
It's America. Makes me think of America. Neil Young, Rocking in the Free World, if we're going to do some throwbacks. James Brown, Living in America. Those are all gravy. Put them shits on at your 4th of July party. You'll be just fine.
Well, what was that song from Team America?
America, fuck yeah.
Yeah.
America.
Throw that on the list.
Fuck yeah. That is a great song. That really is a great
song.
That
doesn't get you amped.
Born in the USA by the Boss, Bruce Springsteen. And then, of course, I mentioned Lynyrd Skynyrd's Freebird earlier on in this episode. I will close with Kid Rock, American Badass.
That's a good song.
As my final.
You know, I was wondering, why is there not a hip-hop American song? Or is there? Are we forgetting something?
We
gotta throw at least one rap song on the list.
I'm sure that at some point, a mainstream rapper has attempted to capitalize on a holiday that is USA-themed in some way. But for the most part, the hip-hop community, not always the most pleased with America. They don't show patriotism in the same way. Slavery really impacted the way that black people look at America as a country a lot different. I mean, hip-hop, you don't think, oh, that's pro-American music. Whereas with country music, you're like, yeah, there's a lot of songs about America there. It just didn't work that way. That's just not the way hip-hop music has chosen to express itself over the years, really. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that makes sense.
It does. It does. It makes sense when you think about it. Indeed. Most American movies ever. First of all, let me say, what makes an American movie and make it American enough to be enjoyed on the 4th of July? Let's say that. It's really about tone and themes, right? Like, obviously, war movies are American historically by default, but there are other movies that fall into this category too, which we'll bring up. I'll give you an example. Forrest Gump. Yeah, I guess that one's sort of a war movie too. The Sandlot. It's a themed movie. It's about baseball, growing up a kid in America.
Okay, yeah.
That's an American fucking movie. It's about that, you know, it's a timepiece too, period piece now, since it's, obviously we're far removed from the years of The Sandlot. But that's not a war movie. It just has the themes and tone of America.
Oh, I have a good one.
Yeah.
It's a sports movie.
What's that?
Miracle.
Oh, it's a great one.
It's a fantastic movie.
All time.
I might actually watch that. I kind of want to watch that again.
Fuck, it's a good one, dude. That one will get your hair standing up on your arms.
As far as war movies, you have to say Saving Private Ryan.
Abso-fucking-lutely.
That's actually my number one probably war movie.
I think it's my number one war movie
that,
ever
that
made,
movie
too.
Is incredible. That's probably something I should definitely watch.
Man, the combination of Spielberg and Tom Hanks is just something else. The movie, even while the like central plot is a little bit weird, that they're like, go get this one brother whose other brothers have died, maybe that's a bit of a stretch from something that would ever happen. I remember people having a problem with that being the premise. The point is not about that, though. The point is about its realism, and it shows what soldiers go through together, and it's just an unbelievable display of what World War II might have looked like.
I just love how it was just no holds barred. You get all the violence, all the action. They don't hold anything back.
Damn. It's brutal in some cases.
Yeah.
Saving Private Ryan, fantastic war movie to watch on the 4th of July. The best, in my opinion. If you want to watch a war movie from a different generation, The Patriot.
Yeah.
With Mel Gibson.
That's a great movie.
It's great. It's Mel Gibson, right? So it's a little bit silly. You got to go in knowing that. He's almost got a little bit of a Nicolas Cage error to him at this point. He's a little silly.
Yeah.
But fucking awesome, awesome movie.
It's one of his best movies.
God, the British villains in this movie are so hateable. I want to kick General Cornwallis right in the dick. They do such a good job making themselves hateable. The Patriot, unreal movie to watch on the 4th of July. Top Gun.
Come on. Yeah, we can't
Come
forget
on.
About that. Yeah.
Top Gun is up there. I'll give you one that's there's no war. While there is a storyline that involves a soldier, the main character, in fact, The Godfather.
I thought you were going to say American Sniper.
No.
Which is another one.
Well, that's a full-blown war movie.
Well, yeah, I'm just saying.
No, The Godfather, though, is a movie about, It's one of the greatest movies ever made, first of all. I think it's in my top five, probably. Godfather Part 2 is the one I would pick if I had to, but Godfather 1 is also fantastic. And I would argue that Godfather 1 is the more American of the two movies, because Godfather 2 spends so much time focusing on the what happened in Europe before they came to the United States. That Godfather 1 is more of like the culmination of America and American culture as a melting pot, and how it resulted in organized crime and such. It's such a fucking good movie. It covers so many different things. Michael being the military member of his family that fought for the freedom of all Americans, and then his family being an organized crime family, and him having to decide whether or not he wants to be involved in that, and all the things that go with The Godfather. It's just American as hell. Truly is. But Forrest Gump is another one of the ones that is one of the most American movies ever made for me, because of the way it travels us through history, takes us through the 70s, 80s, 90s, whatever, all these different incredible moments.
Yeah, I guess I didn't think of it from that aspect. It kind of does. It really does go through each era of history.
It's fucking awesome. The whole movie is like a tribute to American history in a way, and Forrest getting involved in all these different pieces of history is hilarious, and it's just so good.
Let me give you this one.
Yeah.
American Gangster.
Ah.
That's something a little different.
It's a solid movie. It's not in my top three Denzel movies, even.
No, nor should it be in the category of gangster movies, like if we're talking the top movie.
No, it's not. It's not one of the best gangster movies ever made at all. The soundtrack by Jay-Z is fucking incredible.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
One of my favorite Jay-Z albums.
That's actually one of his best albums, low-key.
Ooh, I'll throw you a movie that's not war-related that is a very American one. It will be all over your television on July 4th, I fucking guarantee it. Jaws.
Yeah, why is that always played, like, because they really do show that.
This is one of the ones, it's about tone and themes, and for some reason, it just fucking feels so American when you're watching Jaws, and they're doing battle with a shark, and they're trying to keep the beaches safe for the children.
It's funny how that movie has really stood the test of time.
It's so good.
It's still just as good now as it was,
Spielberg.
30 years ago, whenever it came out, 40 years ago?
Spielberg's good. Independence Day, obviously, for the speech. We opened the fucking episode with it.
Yeah.
Independence Day. Indiana Jones. There's like this category of really American movies. It's like Indiana Jones, Back to the Future. Like the classics that just feel like right. That's where Jaws is at, too. It's like movies that every American has seen at least once. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Those ones make you feel like The Sandlot's there, too. It's like fucking Rocky V, the one where he beats Drago wearing American flag shorts. Spoiler alert.
If he dies, he dies.
If he dies, he dies. But those are like, everybody has seen those, and they're like part of the American culture at this point. Air Force One. Get off my plane. Fuck, I watched that so many times as a kid. Apollo 13, and I'll give you one more. If you've never seen this movie, it is extremely old school and weird, but it is incredible, and I think it is an interesting film for today's climate. Patton. Patton.
I don't know if I've ever seen that.
It's about General Patton and how incredibly politically incorrect he was, and how all the problems it caused for him, as he did accomplish quite a bit militarily. One of the more famous generals in American history, arguably the most famous. It is very old, and it is very, very good.
So it's a movie where they're just bashing him the whole time?
No, hell no.
All of his mishaps and...
No. They're not bashing at all. But they show.
Oh, Patton, but it's part of history, though.
They show Patton and his flaws, but also how those flaws attributed to some of the good things that he was able to accomplish. Patton is, I would say, one of the most American movies ever. Another great one to watch on the 4th of July, and that's the one we'll close off our list with. Next, some messages from the military. We got so many emails from members of the RBP gang who are active duty or veterans, servicemen and women. We've picked out a few I just wanted to read to share with y'all so you could hear the voices through my voice of these men and women who listen to the show and who are in the armed services. Here's our first email. I'm Midshipman Ernst. It's a fake name. Stationed overseas for this summer. I'm a student at the Naval Academy, but have gotten to spend a part of my summer with sailors who have been stationed abroad for upwards of 3 years. For the past month, I've been living with enlisted sailors, guys who went to the Navy after high school, and experienced what life is like away from the U.S. The most striking thing is that each and every sailor realizes that what they're doing has a purpose. Don't get me wrong. They're still bitching at what they along the way, because who wouldn't? But there is never a question of doubt or remorse about the mission they are fulfilling. Each man and woman realizes that their job is key to defending those at home no matter the cost. It makes me proud to be in the military and serve with those who know a greater sacrifice. End of email. Ernst, you move me, man. That's incredible. Thank you for sharing. Next one. My name is Cody. I've been in the Air Force for 7 years now, and I've gone through a lot in those years, not necessarily through the Air Force, just in life in general. I joined after ODing on Tylenol PMs in my first semester out of freshman year of college. After living through that, I knew I had to get out of the lifestyle I was living or I was going to self-destruct, so after going through the motions of basic training and technical school, I decided to marry my girlfriend back home because she stuck around after my suicide attempt and thought she was my angel. We got married, and I get lazy. I gained 70 pounds. I'm only 5'8", so 250 looked fucking bad on me. I ended up going through depression and drinking a lot. I would drink like 3 tall boys a night on my way home from work. My wife ended up leaving me, and that's when it got hard. My drinking got worse. My anxiety skyrocketed. I ended up getting a DWI. I almost lost my job. At this time, my close friend David and Mag told me about your show, and I started listening from the beginning to now. I've lost 60 pounds. I'm down to 190. My anxiety still acts up, but you helped me coop by telling me what you went through. I just needed you to know you were appreciated, and to keep it up, please, gang, 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 Chipotle, whatever.
That's amazing.
I love you ending an email with Chipotle, whatever. Thank you for reaching out, Cody. Next one. Dear boss, that's me. I just wanted to give you a quick shout from Dyess Air Force Base, I believe, in Abilene, Texas. Your podcast was a staple of daily life when I was deployed over in Africa the past several months, and I would always look forward to each episode. Thank you for continuing to provide quality segments, open and honest discussions about issues like anxiety and alcohol use in the past, and just giving me personally something to have while I was away from home. Because when you're gone, every little thing helps. I wanted to just briefly talk about struggling with alcohol use and the impact it has had on my life since returning home. It almost cost me a relationship with the woman that I love and see a future with, and it got to the point where I realized that moving forward in life, I needed to change. I listened to RBP to get perspective and honestly, just to take a break from the stress and lifestyle of the military. I wanted to say that the podcast has so many qualities that I have taken into my life, like Soft for the Weekend, reading rap lyrics, stuff to Wikipedia when you're high, as well as many others. Basically, all I'm trying to say is that what you're doing does have a lot of silent listeners that gain from what you do. It's good having someone who doesn't feel like a stranger every week, letting it go and discussing almost anything. The community y'all have created is real, and I look forward to more and more episodes in the future. Please keep doing what you're doing. I hope you and Taylor have a great fourth, and rip some of the devil's lettuce for those of us who can't. Gang, gang. That's enough, Ben. Thank you. Seriously. Here's another one. What's going on, Ross? Active Duty Air Force TACP out of Hawaii. Been on for about 5.5 years now. Your podcast has helped tremendously, specifically with my anxiety. I can't really seek to get diagnosed without being classified unfit to do my job. So I basically buckled down and ride the roller coaster. Thanks to you, I've found ways to help control it. And on my bad days, I can always count on you and AJ to bring the heat and uplift me. Thanks for dropping the dope shit every single episode. Also, big shout out to you and Tay. I'm getting married soon and would love any advice for a newlywed. Thanks again and gang, gang, fucking gang. Thank you for your service. My advice for you as a newlywed would be patient and listen to each other. Next one. What's up, man? Here's a couple of photos of myself. By the way, so many of these included photos, some of which I'm going to ask for approval to share on the Instagram and such, at the Ross Boland Podcast on Instagram. I'm serious. The reason I'm reading this handful of these messages from y'all is because I want you to get a feel for what some of these men and women experience and how the show helps with some of the things that they have to struggle with. It's about highlighting their struggles and their journeys. It's not about me trying to suck off my own show. I know it can sound like that with some of the stuff because I'm the one saying it, but these are their words, not mine. A lot of this I'm just humbled by. It's not something that I'm trying to come off as braggadocious. I'm trying to show y'all and give you some insight into these men and women who listen to the show and also serve in the military, because I think it's an incredible perspective. And I think that they have a lot to say that those of us that don't serve, don't have to serve, can appreciate. Here's another one. What's up, man? Here's a couple photos of myself and my grandfather, Sal, a World War II Navy veteran who served on a minesweeper in the Pacific. Cool story for you. We're from the Bay Area, and the Oakland Raiders invited my grandpa and I to their training facility last year, and we got to meet Gruden, the team, and of course, the Raiderettes. Second photo is my grandfather in Washington, D.C. at a Navy museum, where he found a model of his exact ship as an exhibit here.
Tight.
That's fucking tight. I listened to the pod during my downtime when I wasn't flying, and now on my commutes to my normal civilian job. I've followed you since TFM when I was a freshman in college in 2011. It's been a great ride so far. Big fan of the pod, Dante.
Wow, an OG.
Woo, 2011, my
That's way back.
What's up? That's my whole fucking career you've been with me, bro.
Damn.
I appreciate you.
I can't even imagine how that feels hearing that.
It's pretty cool. Hey, Ross, first off, love the show. Gang, gang, gang. I'm active Army, currently stationed in New York. Just wanted to share how wonderful I think your show is and the impact it had on me. I've been in the Army for just under a year, and this is my first duty station. I got into your show when I arrived here. I got here in the middle of an upstate New York winter, which means very cold and a whole lot of snow. First few months, I had not made any friends yet, and I had no way to really get around. That stacked on top of winter made it a very hard transition, but I started your show from the beginning and listened to it every single day. Your show was what I listened to when getting ready for work and what I looked forward to throughout the day, from the beginning with you and Micah to now with you and AJ. On top of your great and hilarious segments, my favorite is Animal of the Week. I love that you're not afraid to get serious. I especially love how you tackle mental illness, especially as a person who suffers from depression and has recently started experiencing anxiety. That, coupled with the community you built with your show, made me feel like I had friends before I made friends here. I love what you're doing. Keep up the great work. Gang, gang, gang. Ben, Private First Class, U.S. Army. Thank you, Ben. Couple more. Hey, Ross, I'm stationed out of Fort Hood. My wife and I just started listening to your podcast around episode 50 when we were on my way to my first duty station. Since then, it became my main source of entertainment because I don't always have enough time to play video games or watch TV. The main way this podcast helped me, though, was through my first deployment. It kept me in touch with home. It also gave me more to talk about with my wife than what was going on overseas. And I think that probably helped her as well. I appreciate everything you and AJ do, always being on your grind. Thank you for everything, gang, gang, gang. What's up, Ross and AJ? I'm currently listening to episode 99 right now and wanted to contribute to the episode dedicated to the greatest nation to ever grace this earth with its presence, the USA, so that there is no confusion. I'm active duty Air Force stationed at Hickam Air Force Base, which is the base connected to Pearl Harbor. Originally from Arkansas, so I guess you could say we're neighbors. I wouldn't say that, but fair enough. Anyways, man, I listened to y'all on the way to and from work, and it reminds me of the morning radio talk shows that I grew up with. I wanted to say thanks, Ross, for talking about anxiety. I feel like anxiety is so watered down to where I had it and didn't even know I had it because everyone says they have anxiety. But long story short, I just got put on Zoloft around the same time you switched over, and it's been going good so far. Love the show, guys. Here's a couple of pictures. The first one is of a B-1 bomber and some people that were selected to go check it out. I'm front and center. And the second is of his whole unit. We go and welcome our new guys at the airport, he said. Thanks, guys. One or two more. What's up, Bill? Been listening to RBP since episode 1 and thoroughly enjoy it. Last year, I was getting ready for a deployment, which is tons of fun, obviously, and RBP was a great way to break up the grind with some humor and stories about your general douchebaggery in college. Oh, debauchery, not douchebaggery.
Both.
Debauchery. I would add that it was douchebaggery. During the deployment, RBP became an escape. The podcast was a place to go get a laugh, yell at you in my head for your pronunciation of certain words, and think about something else for a while. Your thoughts and experience with anxiety and mental health have really opened up my eyes about what it actually means to be mentally fit. I actually quit dipping tobacco shortly after the first quitting day, and that's hard to do overseas with not much going on outside of warm, non-alcoholic beers. Your New York Times best-selling book, he put parentheses flex, podcast, humor, and sincerity have positively impacted my life as well as the lives of others and the active duty service members. Thanks for the laughs and the more serious stuff. Sincerely, Steven. One more. Hey, Ross, my name is Austin, and I'm Marine Corps veteran. I started listening to RBP last summer around August and requested by my boy Anthony, also a Marine vet. I was instantly hooked and also picked up on OCC, given my severe Game of Thrones addiction. I finished my contract with the Marine Corps in February and had some huge changes ahead of me, going from a single guy in Minnesota to a married guy living in North County, San Diego. My wife and I are big RBP fans, and she hit me up with your Instagram post saying I should shoot you a call or an email for the 4th, so here I am. I guess I wanted to let you know that you and your podcast, along with AJ and Micah, has helped me immensely with transitioning back to being a civilian. With so many shitty things happening around the world, we all have to find something that we are good at that puts a little more good and positivity out there. And you, my friend, have definitely found your thing. Your podcast is a shining example of what can happen when you intentionally put a little more good into the world. And at the end of the day, all of us humans are just a bunch of confused animals strapped to a convertible spaceship flying through the unimaginable universe trying to find our purposes in life. So why not have fun and be good to one another while we do it? Seriously, keep doing what you're doing. Happy 4th of July. Celebrate your freedom. And remember, that freedom comes at great cost. So use it fully. Gang, gang, gang. I don't think I can say it much better than that. Than Austin did. Thank you to every single, each and every one of y'all. Military, former, current, veterans.
All of you.
Everybody. Thank you who reached out. 888-WR-BOLIN on the hotline. Everybody who emailed Ross at RossBolinPodcast.com. I'll say this. If you're military and you didn't get the opportunity or know that you were supposed to reach out before this 4th of July special, that's fine. It's cool. Hey, please don't hesitate. Hit us up, 888-WR-BOLIN, Ross at RossBolinPodcast.com. I will respond to as many of you as I can over time. It will take time. And I, in the case that you guys have something you want me to share on the show, I will happily do so. Hit us up. Do not hesitate. Before we head out, some announcements. Quickly, your legal obligations. Having listened to this entire episode of RBP, you've been saddled with two legal obligations. First and foremost, you must rate and review on Apple Podcasts specifically. If you want to listen on Spotify or SoundCloud or wherever, that's dope. I don't care. But you got to rate and review on Apple Podcasts. One or two or three sentences about why you love the show, perhaps how it's affected you in your life, why anybody else should listen to it, and then give us a five-star review. Your second legal obligation after you check that first box is to tell one person, whether it be a friend, a family member, a coworker, a neighbor, any one individual that you think would enjoy RBP, share the show with them. Maybe send them the Instagram. Maybe send them a Spotify link to their your favorite episode. Whatever you do, you got to share the show with one person this week, one person next week, one person every week until the week you die. Those are your two legal obligations. If you fulfill them and stay in good standing with the gang, we will call off the dogs. We will not see you in court. And then we'll all live long and prosper. Follow the show on Instagram at the Ross Bolin Podcast. We're also on Twitter at Ross Bolin Pod, and we're on Facebook somewhere, but nobody cares. You can follow me, Ross Bolin, on Twitter, Instagram, and Snapchat at WR Bolin on all three at WRBOLEN. AJ, where can everybody follow you?
On Twitter and Instagram, I am at Capital AJ. That is CAPITALAJ. Hey, real quick, too, I just wanted to say.
He spelled it.
Yeah, I spelled it. Real quick, I just want to say congrats on making it to 200. It's a milestone that a lot of podcasts don't make it to. And still, RBP is around.
Oh,
it's alive.
Thank you, man.
It's thriving. It's bigger and better than ever before.
We're doing it.
I just want to say congrats and just, you know, thank you for letting me tag along for this ride.
Hey, I appreciate it. Dude, I appreciate it. Thank you for being along for the ride with me and for being a part of so many of the episodes. Hopefully, into the future, we'll be able to bring y'all even more bigger and better shit. Like I spoke to this earlier on when we were first launching Bolin Media, but seems as good a time as any to bring it up. I want to do live events at some point and be able to do stuff like by the time we get to episode 250 or maybe even 225 or maybe it's 300, I don't know, that we can do an event, right? Like a full live event that people can come and we can do a live show and we can all meet and greet and actually do some real world RBP gang bonding. Like, I'm very much looking forward to that becoming a part of this community and what we do into the future. So one of the ways that you can certainly help us continue to grow and continue to make sure that we keep doing what we're doing is by going to patreon.com/RossBolinPodcast and supporting the show through that channel. Patreon is essentially a platform that allows us the ability to bring you premium content, meaning no advertising, like more podcast episodes without ad reads, as well as columns and videos and other things without having to involve advertisers. So it's a direct to listener or follower or fan experience, right? There's no advertisers involved. And in the case of podcasting, the way this industry works is as your show has success, you charge rates based on your show's listenership to advertisers. And because of the way the advertising budgets are spread out for certain companies and in certain industries, and because of how much in its infancy the podcast industry is as a whole, it is still a difficult means by which to monetize your show. Now, we have success there. We do. We have quite a bit of success there, and I'm very thankful for that. But at the same time, it's not something we can always rely on. There are going to be, you'll notice some weeks we have two reads during an episode. Some weeks we have four. That's as a result of the advertising industry and the sort of ebbs and flows to that world. So the best way you can support this show beyond supporting our sponsors, which is obviously way number one, support a sponsor. If you hear a sponsor you like on the show or a product you're interested in, fucking buy it, because that is making sure that we will continue to get their business and that we will continue to grow into the future. But the number two way, I guess, then, is by going to Ross Bolin, patreon.com/RossBolinPodcast, joining one of the three tiers we have available, whether it's the OG tier for $100 or more, if you want to be one of our most psychotic and incredible supporters, where you'll get everything we publish on Patreon, plus a handwritten letter from me saying thank you. Or the RBP gang tier, which is the most normal one. It's the premium content subscription tier. For $5 a month, you'll receive two additional episodes of this podcast without advertisements, as well as all the editorial content and first dibs on merch when that comes. And then if you're like, fuck that, I don't need anything else, I just want to read what you write, I don't want to listen to anything else you have to say, $1.99, join G3. You'll get all the editorial content that's published on Patreon in that tier. And those, seriously, truly, those, everything, the last 5-10 minutes of me talking, those are the ways you can support the show. So for everybody who reaches out asking, like, what can I do? How can I help? How can I be a part of it? Word of mouth is the most important way we grow this show. And since we're on the topic, word of mouth from active duty military is the most meaningful word of mouth there is.
Oh, definitely.
Or,
for sure.
Or from veterans as well. So for those of you who have been impacted by the show, who have shared your stories with me, and with AJ and I and with everybody else in the gang, we thank you so much and we appreciate you. For those of you who maybe you don't feel like that's appropriate or you don't feel comfortable sharing with everybody, cool, that's fine. Share with your people, though. And that can be the way that you share the show with others, to let them know how it impacted you and helped you or otherwise influenced your life. So continue to help us grow the gang by doing all the things we ask that you do, like rate and review, share the show with one person each week, follow us on all the social medias, support us on Patreon if you're able and if you want more content. And that's kind of it. You do those things and we'll keep doing what we're doing. It has been an incredible first 200 episodes. This has been... The reason I said we'll do our episode 200 in a slingshot if we ever get there is because it seemed like an actually unrealistic goal. And we did get there a lot faster than I intended. It's a lot different than I intended as well. Things are so different than they were when this show started. Under a totally different company, under my own company now. I've gone through one of the more incredibly, transition-filled 2 years of my life in these first couple hundred episodes. And I mean, it's been crazy. I quit drinking pretty much right when we started the show, maybe right before. So it's been like I've sort of grown with the Ross Bolin podcast and gotten to know myself a little bit better through each and every episode that we do. And for everybody today that's like, man, this dude just reading off compliments from other people to himself. No, this show has done more for me than anybody. It is so important and meaningful to me to hear from everybody saying thank you for what you do. I couldn't be more thankful for you guys listening right now. And each and every episode and every week, and especially to those who have served. But it means I am not on the thank side. You don't have to thank me. I appreciate each and every one of you that does. But I'm the one who's thankful to have the opportunity to do this for a living, to have the opportunity to do what I love, which is entertain people and hopefully make people laugh, but also make people think about their lives and how they can improve their lives and maybe think about things that they didn't already consider. Maybe expand their horizons, maybe see things from different people's perspectives, from different races, from different mental health issues, from different political standpoints. All that shit is important to me. But it brings me a great deal of peace, and it has helped me in my life and through my own struggles with both substance abuse and mental health and addiction and fucking just life. It has helped me so, so much. So I'm the one who's thankful to all of you, and to you, AJ, and to Micah, and to Grand X, and the guys that started that company and gave me the opportunity and put me on. To everybody who supported me along the way, I couldn't be more thankful to my fucking dad, who I forgot to mention last episode, and he texted me and was like, hey, I noticed you said thank you to everyone in the family except for
except me.
He was just messing with me. My dad knows how much he means to me. To my mom, my brother, everybody in my family who supported me, and my friends, it's taken a shit ton of people and patience to get us through 200 episodes and to keep me alive through 200 episodes. And without them and without y'all, none of this matters. It doesn't. So you can thank me all you want, but I wanted to say thank you one more time, and I will continue to say it every day to y'all. But as we close out this episode, and that will do it for RBP 200, recorded and produced by Mike Moody and Grant Davis at Permanent Record Studios in Austin, Texas. We will catch you next week on episode 201, RBP 201, coming Monday. Gang, 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 peace be with you and also with you. God bless America. Enjoy the 4th of July and your families and your freedom. We're going to play a bunch of other hotline calls just consecutively here for you to listen to on your way out, and then the theme music will roll and you can get out and enjoy your day. All right? Again, peace be with you and also with you, because it doesn't feel right to say some other shit.
Hey, Ross, it's Matt from Kentucky, originally. I'm calling from Laughlin Air Force Base in Del Rio, Texas, where I am training to become a pilot for the Air Force. I just wanted to say I appreciate everything that you do, and the podcast really helped me when I moved 20 hours from my hometown, didn't know a single soul when I first got on the Air Force Base, and didn't really feel lost, of course, but, you know, just had trouble finding my roots. But I really appreciate everything you guys do for the podcast, and thanks for giving me the content to drive 20 hours from Louisville to Del Rio. Thanks.
What up, Ross? It's Easton. I'm in Austin, Texas, and I've been a follower for quite some time now on both the RBP and Oysters, Clams, Cockles. I've been a long time off tonight, but went away to college at Arkansas. Then I got a job offer back down here and was kind of missing something. So joined the Air Force, USAF Security Forces. I was in the 301st up in Fort Worth. There's a traditional reserve unit, but we had a lot of active duty guys that went away on, you know, smaller, shorter ops. I was a part of one that went to South Korea, did security internally for the U.S. team in for the Olympics back in Seoul. So did a little bit of my part, but enjoying civilian life now. And, man, the show's been great. Honestly, you know, when you get out or you lack a little bit of that community discipline. And, you know, for what it's worth, you know, I've had my own quitting day a time or two on multiple things. So, man, I just appreciate you, and shout out to the rest of the vets out there. So thanks a lot, man.
What's up, Ross? It's Preston from North Carolina. I was just calling about that vet post, I guess. And I was going to say that I did 5 years in the Marines, found out about you or found out about your podcast on my last deployment, and it helped me get through a lot of stuff. Been a fan for a long time. I had the book of TFM whenever I was in high school. So, but yeah, big fan, love the pod, love the show. Thanks for doing what you guys do. Thank you, bye.
Hey, Ross, Brandon from Orlando. Your 200 episodes coming up. Congrats. And I'm hoping you remember to get that Polaris slingshot. If I don't hear you're in a slingshot when you're recording this, man, I'm be slightly disappointed in you. So hope you remember. Love the pod. Gang, gang, gang.
Hey, Ross, this is Thomas from Grand Rapids, Michigan. Veteran, but I just wanted to say that podcast has helped me realize a lot of things in life that I didn't notice before, like how novelty license plates, trash move, Chipotle needs to cut the check, and animals getting soft for the weekend. Have a good one. Gang, gang, gang.